Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. As we ended our Bible study last week, I read verse 10 and 11, and we kind of left it there. And so that's where I would like to pick it up today. And I'm going to read next four or five verses and go into chapter 6 and read verse 1. And then we'll see what the word is trying to teach us. So Hebrews chapter 5, verse 10. Let's pick it up over there. It says, called by God as a high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. And of course, this is speaking of none other than Jesus, that he is called by God as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And now chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on the hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of the eternal judgment. So this is the text in front of us. And if you look at the heading, as we go back to chapter 5, for verses 12 to 14, in your Bible, it probably says spiritual immaturity. Now, this is a portion of scripture that most of us are very familiar with, especially if you grew up in a church. This is often read and often referred to for a mature Christian and an immature Christian. Well, I just want to shed a little light on this scripture, and we need to understand it in the context it is given. What I have been saying to you, and what we have discussed throughout the Hebrews Bible study, is this is a book written to the Jews. It is to that Jewish believer who came to know Christ through the message of apostles, and now that person is thinking about going back to Judaism. At certain points, it does speak to a Jew who's intellectually understands the message of Christ, understands the gospel, but he or she has not yet made that decision to accept Christ as the Lord and Savior. And the third group that it speaks to is a complete unbeliever, someone who is completely ignorant of who Christ is and what he has done. So these are the three groups that the book of Hebrew addresses. And mainly, it addresses the one who has accepted Christ, but because of the persecution, because of the current circumstances in their life, when this book is written, they are thinking of going back to Judaism. Think of the book of Galatians and how Peter, when he is with the Jews, he kind of keeps the Jewish dietary law. And he was encouraging others while he was among the Jews to continue living an Old Testament life. And then if you remember, Paul rebuked him for that. So this is the group that this is being written to. Something that I have said often, and I think some of you are probably getting tired of me saying it, but I'm going to continue saying it until we are done with the book of Hebrews. So after this, throughout your life, whenever the book of Hebrew comes, you guys will know this, that this book is written to tell us that Christianity is better than Judaism. that the old covenant, right, is inferior to the new covenant, that Jesus is a superior high priest than those who are in the Old Testament, that he brings in a better covenant, he is a better high priest, and he is our only mediator between us and God the Father. This is the theme of this book. This is the purpose of this book. And so we need to keep that in context as we once again read what is being written here. As we started looking at Hebrews chapter 5, it started to tell us why Jesus is a better high priest. And when we come to verse 10, it says, called by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Now this name that we come to Melchizedek, and I promised you last time, I'm going to promise you again today, that when we get to chapter 7, we are going to discuss this person, this individual, in detail. So I'm not going to say much about who he is and what it means. But what is being introduced over here is that if you're going to understand Jesus' ministry as a high priest and what makes him better, we need to understand who Melchizedek is. That is what is being said over here. But look what verse 11 says. It says, of whom we have much to say. Meaning that I have much to say about Melchizedek. But it's a stuff that is hard to explain, as it says here. And hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. It's not as hard to understand or it's unexplainable. But because you have grown dull. Now the word dull, if you look at the original word in Greek, it literally means stupid. Okay? The other word that we can say is sluggish. And what it is talking about is a spiritual sluggishness or a spiritual stupidness. And what is being said over here is that you guys have grown so dull to the word of God that you are not ready for me to tell you what Melchizedek means or who he is and how it fits into this whole equation. That is what is being said over here. What does it mean by become dull of hearing? You know, we can fall into that trap. Perhaps on this online, in this Bible study, as we have been doing this for quite a while, this Bible, the Sunday night, now I think we are already in a third year of this Sunday night Bible study. It seems like we just started very recently, but it's been 3 years now. And what we see often is people get very excited, you know, and we see this in churches too. You know, people come and they love the message and, it's Tuesday night, they are there. Wednesday night, they are there. Saturday morning, they are there. Sunday, they are there. You know, they are on the prayer line. They are on the Bible study on the Zoom. And for a few weeks, they are all in. And they suddenly just disappear. Perhaps you know people like that in your own life. Perhaps you have noticed that on this phone line, you know. Oh, yeah, I am all for Christ. But they are nowhere to be found. And those are the people who have grown dull of hearing. Sometimes they superficially confess that Jesus is my Lord. But they have not truly made that decision in their heart. They are not truly all in. They would be what we call in the parable of the seed, the sower, the first three kind of seeds. You know, they're excited. They are all in. And then there is no fruit. There is, that is falling away. And that is what is being said over here. So in that context, okay, what I just explained to you, that they have grown dull of hearing, they are not paying attention, that's when the verses 12 to 14 come in, what we call a babe or a mature or an immature person. Now, so often, this portion of scripture is taken and then somebody teaches you about being mature a Christian or being an immature Christian. But that is not the context of what is being said here. That's not what is being said here. Who is this being written to. This is written to Jews. This is not about a Christian person. This is about becoming a Christian person. I hope you see that. Right? It says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principle of the oracles of God. So this is not about immature Christian and an immature Christian. This is about a Jew and a Christian. This is about leaving the Judaism and coming into a Christianity. And this is, it is important to understand. Now, I know some of you are very smart and you know your Bible. So you are going to tell me, but this is mentioned so many other places. This is so many other places we see that this analogy of a babe is used. The word that is used over here is, and I'm trying to find it because I keep forgetting this word, okay? Nepios. Nepios is the word that is used for babe here in Hebrews. Now, let me take you to some other places where it talks about a babe, okay? And to show you that it is not referring to what we think it is referring to. So if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, this is Paul. This is what he says. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to a spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. See, here it is speaking of a maturity of a Christ. And it has nothing to do with time. Because when he writes to the Corinthians at this point, they're probably Christians for 6 years. So it's not like they were just born again. What he associates it with is the carnality. That because you are so carnal, you are babes in Christ. Because you haven't gone through that sanctification, that you there is no growth in you. In that sense, he's talking about the babes. Okay, now let me take you to another place. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Peter also talks about that, and he talks it in completely opposite as to what Paul is saying. He says, as a newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Right? Paul is saying, hey, you guys are babes in Christ. Peter is saying, as a newborn babes. They are all using babe as an analogy to get their point across. Babe has nothing to do with whether you are a Christian or you are not a Christian. What Peter is saying is, as a newborn babe, meaning as a when a baby is born, right? If baby does not get the milk when he or she wants it, they cry, right? They cause a ruckus. And what Peter is saying is, like a newborn baby who desires milk, you should be desiring the word of God. That you should be in the word. You should be doing the devotions. You should be in the prayer. That's how you are going to grow. How does a baby grow? It drinks milk. That's how it gets strength. And so that's what Peter is saying. What Paul is saying is, you cannot handle the heavy stuff. Because you're still living a carnal life. They are both using it in a different context. And here in the Hebrews, it is not talking about a Christian. It is talking about a Jewish person. And when you look at the Old Testament, that's the that's what you call an ABCs of the Christianity. That's where you are, and you need to grow. I'm going to show you that, from the scripture. I'm going to show you how it is used by a Jewish person, the word babe, okay? So go to Romans chapter 2, verse 20. And you can keep your one finger there because we're going to go to chapter 3 as well in a little bit. So Romans chapter 2, verse 20 says this, and an instructor of the foolish, a teacher, the form of a knowledge and truth, in the law. In some of your Bibles, it talks about, instead of the word foolish, the word is babe. Okay, you can if you look in some of the different translation, this is talking about a Jewish person. And it says an instruction of a babe, a teacher, the form of knowledge and the truth in the law. A Jewish person is not teaching Christianity. So when he says an instructor of the babe, they are not talking about. It just talks about somebody who is not mature. And the same word that is used here in Hebrew, Hebrews chapter 5, is used over there in Romans 2:20. So what is being said over here? What does it mean? How do we define babe here in this portion of scripture? It says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principle of the oracles of God. When he says first principle, it literally means like a foundation, the beginnings, like what we say, the alphabet, right? You don't teach somebody, you don't hand somebody a book and say, start reading. I'm going to teach you how to read, right? You teach them the alphabet. Once you teach them an alphabet, then they can form a small sentences. And then you don't have to sit and teach somebody how to read a novel, right? Once they learn to read a little bit, then they can pick up a book and start reading. Right? When you have a baby, when there is a young child, right? What do? We give them a picture book. There's a ball, there's a dog, there is father, mother. You know, they're all pictures, and that's how you teach them. And that's how they learn what each alphabet letter means. You know, for those of us who are from India, what do we say, right? That's the how it is. This is the foundation. This is the first principle. So what it's saying is, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, meaning you know your alphabet. You know what the first principles are, right? So you ought to be teacher. You know it so well, you ought to be teacher. You know, some people sit in the church for so long that they know how to speak Christianese. And they can probably teach some of the stuff. Okay? And that is what is being said here. Now, what is an oracle of God? They understand. See, the audience that he was writing to, they understood what the oracle of God was. The oracle of God is the law that was given to Moses and to the Israelites. That's the oracle of God. Look at Romans 3:1. Look at Romans 3:1. What does it say there? If I can find it. Romans 3:1-2, it says, what advantage then has the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? Because what is the context over here in Romans 3? We have just come off two chapters. Romans 1, starting verse 18 to 32, where it talks about a pagan, a person who disregards God completely. He has no hope. I mean, he has no use for God, right? He denies God. And it talks about a pagan. As we come to chapter 2, it talks about somebody who's religious or a Jew. That, okay, the person who's a pagan, you may say that he needs God. That's what Paul is saying to the Romans. That the person who's pagan, the one who's lost, the one who's practicing homosexuality, one who has created idols and gods that are made out of creatures and the creation and so forth. Yeah, I can understand they need salvation. When he comes into chapter 2, it says, but I am a religious guy. I am a Jew. I have the law. I can instruct people. And and that chapter 2 is all about one who thinks he's just because of his religion. And so when the Romans 3, and at the end of chapter 2 is when he addresses the Jewish person, a Jew who always felt he was superior because he worshiped the one true God. And as Romans 3:1-2 opens up, he says, he basically is arguing, okay, so I'm saying all these things to you, and you probably ask me this question. And this is the style that Paul writes his letters in. He raises the question that one who's reading or the one who's listening to might have because of what he just said. So he says, before anybody can even ask a question, he asks the question. What advantage then has the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? And that's a valid question. Because if you tell a Jewish person that all the law and everything that we've been doing since the time of Moses, and you are saying now that all of that is useless, tell us, what was all the profit? What's the profit of circumcision? Because the circumcision was a big deal. That was a covenant between Yahweh and Abraham, and that was carried out throughout the generation. There was an identity. And then Paul says, much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. You see what it says in Hebrews chapter 5? The first principle of the oracle of God. What is the advantage that a Jewish person has? That God trusted them with the oracle of God. The law was given to Moses, and they were to follow that law. That is the advantage that you have. And so what is being said here by the author of the Hebrews is that you have the law for all this time. You have the oracle of God. And you know all those ceremonies, all the sacrifices, all the stuff that surrounds the tabernacle, as we learned in Exodus, how all of it points to Jesus, right? You should be teachers now, because you should know exactly what happened in the life and the ministry of Jesus. You should be the teacher. But now you have become to need the milk and not solid food. But instead of teaching others, you need to relearn all these things all over again. That is what is being said over here. It's like somebody who should be reading a novel, all right, is now we have to go back and give them a picture book and say, look, this is a ball. This is a dog, right? If it's a one-year-old and you're doing it, it's good. But if you're a high school kid you have to do that with, then we got a problem. Then you have a problem, right? And that is why it is important to understand what is being said over here. I look at verse 13. It says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. And you see that phrase, the word of righteousness, that tells you that this is not written to a Christian. Because Christian cannot be unskilled in the word of righteousness. He cannot be a true Christian. The one who has accepted a Christ cannot be unskilled in the word of righteousness. Because whose righteousness do we have? Christ. So this is somebody who has not, who does not have that righteousness. Unskilled means basically someone who's uneducated, right? Who doesn't know how to do something. So for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled, meaning if you are just going to stay in the Old Testament and you're going to continue to go through the ceremonies, you're going to continue to keep the feast and the festival, all of it which points you to Christ, you are unskilled. And therefore, you are unskilled in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. You see what makes you a babe? When you continue to follow religion in our language and you do not have a relationship with Christ. Again, I remind you, this is not about somebody who has not grown into Christ after accepting him. This is not about a Christian, an immature Christian and a mature Christian. I'm going to get to that in a minute just to kind of make it more relatable to all of you right now, but that is not what is being said here. Important for us to understand. Look at verse 14. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What's the difference between a babe and a mature person? Right? Any product you buy in America, or perhaps anywhere in the world, I don't want to limit it to America, you know, it comes with a warning, choke hazard, especially if it has small parts. Or it will have some kind of a warning, do not put it in your mouth, do not eat, right? Even coffee nowadays comes because of the stupidity of some people that it's hot, right? Why does it come with that warning? Because the babe, if they see something, they're going to put it in their mouth. They have no reasoning power. They just assume that this is something they can eat. And they are going to put it in their mouth. If your high school kid starts to put things in your mouth, in their mouth, whatever is on the floor, we got ourselves a problem, right? Why? Because we have a discerning power. Right? Now I'm going to bring this more relatable to us. What does this mean to us today, right? If you are a mature person who exercises their senses, you're not just going to put any message into your ear, okay? You are going to be very selective, or you are going to kind of make sure that the person that you are listening to is giving you a word from the Bible, that they are scripturally sound, right? That is very important. You know, it's not about, you know, turning on the TV and listening to whoever is on TBN, or just be impressed because somebody has a cross and a Bible in their hand. You need to know what this person is saying. Is it biblically sound? Right? I mean, you turn on Joel Osteen, right? And, you know, he has a wonderful message. He's very positive. He's always uplifting. He has amazing illustration and stories of people who have done well. But is he biblically sound? He's pleasant to listen to. Right, there's always a big crowd. He's cheerful. You know, when you listen, you'll feel good afterwards. But does he really address the issues that a person needs to address, which is the sin in their heart, and how they will be redeemed? So the one who's you know, who exercises the senses, they discern both good and evil. And what we have in this verse is, that I just read and we just went through, is the problem. That by now, you were supposed to be mature enough to discern and understand all of these things that I have told you. And so what we have just gone through in these few verses is the third warning in the book of Hebrews, right? Chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. What was it? The danger of drifting away. When we came into chapter 3, it was the danger of disbelief. Do not harden your heart. Now, as we come here, this is the danger of dullness. Dullness to what? To the word of God. And so, to understand what is happening here, this is the problem. Now, the verse 1 and 2 that we read in chapter 6, that is the solution. And I'm already running out of time, so I'm not going to go much deeper into these two verses. We are going to pick it up next time. But I just want you to see what is being said here, right? It ended with, the chapter ended with, their senses exercise to discern both good and evil. So if you exercise that senses and you know what is good and evil, therefore, right? What do I say? If it is therefore, we got to see why it's therefore. It connects us back to chapter 5 and the last verse. And it says, leaving the discussion of the elementary principle of Christ. Loaded, loaded verse. Then it says, let us go on to perfection. What does that mean? What are we discerning here? We are going to learn about that next time. But as we close this Bible study, and I urge you come back because next week, if you read chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, some of the most controversial verses in the Bible. Very difficult verses to explain. I will try my best with the help of the Holy Spirit to do so. But they are very difficult verses. But as we look at this spiritual immaturity, what I want to draw your attention to, and as a Christian, what it means to be an immature Christian. I just want to show you that for in the next couple of minutes. You know, what we have here is the same kind of a person, a Christian person, like a Jew who came out of Egypt, an Israelite who came out of Egypt, but never made it to the promised land. They just stayed in the wilderness for 40 years. Until the whole generation passed away, they had every opportunity to go to the promised land. Only two took that opportunity. For us, what I like to call, right, there are too many of us, and there are too many of us sitting in churches, too many of us in our community, in our family. I hope none of you who are listening to me, too many are Saturday Christians. And you're going to ask me, what is a Saturday Christian? A Saturday Christian is a Christian who understands Good Friday, understands the crucifixion, all four crucifixion and the shedding of the blood and how we are cleansed. But they never make it to this Resurrection Sunday. All their life, like those Israelites in the wilderness, they spend that time on a Saturday, knowing that there is a salvation, but never experiencing the victory that is available to us in the resurrection and the power that we have through the resurrection. And that is what an immature Christian is. The one who comes to the knowledge, yes, Christ died for me, but then never lives a life of victory. They are constantly burdened. They are constantly worried. They are constantly defeated with whatever comes in their way. It is important that we grow and understand what we have in Christ, the resurrected Christ. That's what makes him the high priest that he is. What is he doing right now? He's interceding for us. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. That's his ministry. That's what makes him the better high priest. Because the high priest in the temple in the Old Testament never sat down. He never rested, as we have been looking at the last couple of weeks. But Jesus, having completed his work by resurrecting, can rest. And that is the rest we need to experience. The resurrection power. And that resurrection power is the one that gives us a strength and an ability to have victories over those things that we struggle. Are you a Saturday Christian? If you are a Saturday Christian, and there are so many out there, that resurrection power is available to you. All you need to know, all you need to do is recognize it. Oh, Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord. If there is any amongst us, Lord, if we are on the fringe, Lord, if our senses are dulled by the worry, if we are our senses are dulled because we have just grown tired of hearing your word, Lord. We are just going through the motions. We go to the church on Sunday. We listen to the pastor, and whatever the season might be, Lord, we know exactly the scripture, Lord, even before the pastor starts to speak, Lord. We know how to speak Christianese. We know when to say hallelujah, and we know when to say praise the Lord. And we have all the right words that we express to others, Lord, and that for the most part, we are able to fool others, Lord. But we cannot fool you, Lord. And so if we are like the people, Lord, that we just read about, that knowing the first principles, the oracle of God, knowing, Lord, for us what the first oracles are, that Jesus was born, that he died and he's risen, and that he is going to come back to get us. That is the basic ABCs of our faith, Lord. Even after knowing that, Lord, if we are still living a diffident life, Lord, I pray that you wake us up today, Lord. If there is any among us who is just a Saturday Christian, Lord, I pray you open our eyes, Lord. Help us to experience the victories that are available to us in you, Lord. Lord, as we go into our promised land, as we come to our wall of Jericho, Lord, as we come to our temptation of AI, Lord, help us to know that there is Holy Spirit available to us, Lord, which is the resurrection power, to give us victory over those things, Lord, that we may possess all the land, that we may possess all the promises that you have given to us in Christ, Lord. I pray for that empowerment for each and every person listening today, Lord. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.